So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you will speak to us from your written word this morning. And this we ask in the name of the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Francis, and everyone else for your invitation. I don't know if I'll get another one, but we shall see. But it's good to be here. But if I started by saying Happy New Year, would you perhaps think that your visiting preacher had perhaps gone a bit funny in the head? Well, I hope not, because Advent Sunday is the start of the church year. It has been, apparently, since the 6th century. A new calendar, as over the coming 12 months, the church goes once more through God's message of salvation. And although wherever people live on the surface of the planet, the earth takes exactly the same time to go around the sun, there are quite a number of different calendars in use. There's the Hebrew calendar, the Islamic calendar, the Chinese calendar. There are some that have dropped out of use altogether, like the French Republican calendar. And then there's the one we use, which takes its popularity from the Venerable Bede. He used it in his book, The Ecclesiastical History of the English People. But it didn't always start a new calendar year on the 1st of January. Prior to 1752, England, it was different elsewhere, the year started on the 25th of March. And that makes a lot of sense. It's the Feast of the Annunciation, or 9 months before Christmas. And that, and the numbering, even though we do know it's out by a few years, links the calendar, the way that we think about time, with the idea that the coming of Jesus is so significant that it is central to the way that we are to think about life from day to day. Before Bede popularized our present way of numbering years, the method used was the year within the reign of a particular king. Much of the Old Testament uses that system of dating, Kings, Chronicles, and so on, and the prophets, as did British Acts of Parliament, until within the reign of our late Queen. But having our years numbered from the first coming of King Jesus gives us the message that Jesus is the one who is king over all and over all kings, and the one whose kingdom shall never end. And while some historians these days try to deny the link by using terms like common era, we are nevertheless living in the years of the Lord, Anno Domini. And it's easy to forget that link, but it's there every time we write 2023 on a bit of paper or 2024 in a few weeks' time. The link to Jesus is there. But important dates are not just about looking back. Because while the Bible message centers around one big event, it also says a time about when Jesus will return, that big future event, the time of the final judgment, the time when the things that are wrong with the world will finally be dealt with. And this season of Advent, which starts the church year, looks forward to Christmas, which means considering the promises from the Old Testament that he was to come, but also looking forward to the time when he will come again. The gospel reading was from Mark. It's part of a whole chapter of teaching about future events. It's also recorded in Luke's account. Matthew's gospel follows it with a whole second chapter about the need to be ready. And we cannot ignore this as part of the gospel teaching. Yet so often people try to push it under the carpet, as if they think that saying Jesus is going to come back is a sign of being slightly bonkers. But this teaching is found in more than just the Gospels. It's in the epistles, as we heard in our first reading. It's in Acts. It's central to the Revelation. It's also found in the prophecies contained in the Old Testament. We ignore it literally at our peril. And even though many details of the what and the when and the how have not been made known to us, we need to keep it in mind, not just as something theoretical, but as something to direct our day-to-day living, because this will affect us. Whether we are still alive when Jesus returns, or whether we are among those who will be raised to meet the Lord. When Jesus comes back, it will see the completion of a work that has already started. Because if we're all sinners, then we will all die, because of the wages of sin is death. Yet, while Jesus has overcome the power that sin holds over all of us, we still die. For the victory to be complete, we have to be raised from death, just as Jesus has been raised from death. And that's what we're waiting for. He's spoken of as the first fruits, isn't he, of those who are raised. But of course, plenty of people have made themselves look silly by trying to predict the date. It's not happened yet. Is Jesus ever going to come back? And one of the issues we have is that the texts are quite hard to piece together. Matthew records Jesus predicting the destruction of the temple, after which the disciples ask this: when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, is that one question? Or is it three questions? Because if the question is about the destruction of Jerusalem, then the words of Jesus we see in verse 30, that it would happen within that generation, have been fulfilled. Many who heard him preach would have seen the Roman armies surround the city in 70 AD. It is recorded that when the Roman armies arrived, the Christians living in the city knew of the prophecy, did what was instructed by Jesus, and fled to the mountains. And as a result, they survived when the city and all that was in it was destroyed. If they could place confidence in these words of Jesus and be safe as a result, then surely that suggests that the rest is also reliable and is also going to happen. But when will it be? Perhaps it's good that we don't know, or we might all just sit around waiting when there's life to be lived and our King Jesus to be served. All we're told is that it will be at a time that is least expected. But we do at least know where it will happen. It will be everywhere. As for when, Jesus tells his disciples even he doesn't know the time. Now, that's a strange statement. Surely Jesus knows everything. Well, it might be that he knows now, but he didn't know at that precise moment as he was on earth and not with his Father in heaven. Perhaps it's more likely that the date is not fixed because some things have to happen first. And some of those are under human control, in a sense. For instance, the gospel has to be preached to the whole world. Last week, I read through a list of the things that the Bible tells us have to happen before Jesus returns. And in each case, the commentator came to the same conclusion. That thing probably hasn't happened yet, but it might have done. And remember, Jesus teaches, it's verses 33 and 35 in Mark, that we don't know when it's going to happen. So presumably, if the whole church was in a ferment, expecting the second coming any moment, then it wouldn't happen. As by definition, if it happens when you're not expecting it, then it won't happen when you are expecting it. Now, you know the line that goes, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is Jesus is coming back. The bad news is Jesus is coming back because he will arrive as both king and judge. And whether that's good news or bad news for you depends on the choices you make. Every knee must bow before King Jesus. Will you bow joyfully before your Lord and Savior? Or cower before the judge whose forgiveness you have rejected? It's your choice, our choice, each one of us. But how long do we have to make it? If Jesus is to return at a time we do not know, then we must both live as if it is going to be a very long wait and live as if he might come back at any moment. Of course, living both for today and for eternity is good advice for life anyway. Jesus taught that when he returns, the sun, the moon, and the stars will be affected. So great will be the event. And from what we know about the size of the universe, that's an event so enormous as to be beyond our wildest imagining. And then he says, they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And that refers back to a vision in the prophet Daniel, where we read, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. It's the same passage that Jesus applied to himself at his trial before the Sanhedrin. They regarded it as blasphemous and sent him to his death. But of course, that was the way to him rising and ascending to his kingship in heaven. Jesus, the carpenter's son, was to be presented before God the Father as the Messiah, at home in heaven from where he had come. And when he comes back to this earth, it will not be like the first time, as a baby, humble, weak, vulnerable, nor as a mere man. He will return with all the power, the majesty, the glory of the Son of God. The King comes to rule as King over all those who acknowledge him and all of those who don't acknowledge him. The church will be glorified. The living and the dead will be judged in righteousness. The powers of evil will finally be overthrown. And a new heaven and a new earth will come into being with none of the imperfections of the one that we know now. For those who serve him in this present world, it will be good news indeed. For those who reject him, it will be too late for a change of mind. Jesus teaches about the overthrow of everything that his listeners will have known. But did you notice the one verse that promises stability? We live in a time when some certainties seem to be breaking down. There seem to be more wars than in the past. Our technology might turn out to be a threat rather than a help. And activists denounce as hateful things that most of us thought were indisputable fact. Things change. It was like that at the time of Jesus. But as surely as a tree buds into leaf in the spring, and don't we look forward to that at this time of year? Just as certainly, Jesus is coming back. And that event really will overthrow everything around us, except for one thing, one point of stability. Verse 31, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So if we place our trust and confidence in those words and in the one who said them, then we can stand firm no matter how much everything else may be shaken. When it happens, as we heard in our epistle reading, we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we cannot know the day or the hour of your return until it happens, but we pray that you will prepare us in holiness, that we may be ready to meet you, and that we may say with confidence, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.